Matashit Rechay. If you find documents, bills of loan, actually, we did this already. Let's start from the beginning of the Gemara again, but again, I have to read it according to the Nusach of the, which I made up, basically. But it's based on the Iskoriyah, which goes like this. Down on the base. Tani B'Shem Rei Meir. Tani. We learned. Bein Shtar Shish Baruch Christ Nuchosim. Bein Shtar Shem Baruch Christ Nuchosim. Where the property has, where the document has in it written that is guaranteed by the real estate, or doesn't have, not guaranteed by the real estate, not written that it's guaranteed by the real estate. Goyim Nuchosim Shibarim. That's Chachamim. Chachamim say, you don't have the right to guarantee in a shtar. A shtar, by definition, is guaranteed by real estate. So therefore, if you don't write it explicitly, it's assumed that it's guaranteed by real estate. That's Chachamim. Rabbi Meir argues, shtar sheyesh bo achrayas nechosim, shtar which has achrayas nechosim, if it has explicitly guaranteed written, then go to chosim shibanim, then you collect from real estate. And I should add, real estate which is sold to somebody else. The chosim shibanim, obviously, if I'm holding real estate and I'm the debtor, obviously you can collect from my real estate. The chiddush is that even if I sold that property to somebody else, as long as I sold it after debt was contracted, you can come and collect from that property. The chiddush that even real estate which was sold already, you can come and collect from. Okay?
Even if it's sold to a third party.
Third party, right.
Collect from a third party.
Right.
And that's the problem with the third party.
That's his tough luck. Okay.
He can't go back to the...
No, he can go back, but he has to, you know, eventually he'll have to wait to get his money, right? Obviously, the seller is not exactly a self-sufficient individual. So in any event, so the bottom line is that the guarantee which we're discussing is not the guarantee on real estate per se, but the guarantee on real estate which has already been sold to somebody else, again, after the contractual date of the document. So Chachamel, whether you write into the document or not, there always is a guarantee based on real estate, even if sold to somebody else. Whereas, the next page. He says, no, it's not always automatic, the guarantee. Only if it's written in the document is there a guarantee. If it's not written in the document, there is no guarantee, and there's no collection from anything which is sold to a third party. So now, the Gemara asks, in the third line, how daiti the Rabbi Meir, corner Rabbi Meir, lays the Dovru Machzir. Why do you give back the documents? The Nara Mishnah says that you give back a document which doesn't have a chayas nechosim. What good does it do? If it doesn't have a chayas nechosim, it means there's no lien. Then it's all discretion of the borrower, anyway. What good does it do the lender to have this document which has no teeth to it? So says the Gemara, Latura Pitzuchisa. Uses it as a bottle cork, right? Still his paper, so he gets to use the bottle cork. Now I'm going to ask a question on this. Rav Amar, Rav says, Yoresh k'meshubar. An heir is like an individual who acquired, is like the third party we've been discussing above. Right? Third party does not, only pays with real estate he bought from the debtor if the creditor has a document, right? If the creditor has no document, there's no collection from the third party who bought from the debtor. So too, an heir doesn't pay the debt of his father unless there's a document outstanding against the property. If the document does not, there's no document outstanding, there's no payment. Okay? So Rav Amar Yerushka Meshubad, Kishem Shemava Beinim Eino Goed Nigoes Meshubadim, just like a loan contracted only with witnesses and with no document, does not collect from the property which has already been sold to the third party, Kach Ein Nigoes Min Yerushim, so too it's not acquired from the heirs either. The heirs only have to pay up on loans which are presented in a document. Shmuel said, a variation on the theme, we had this a couple of blad ago, but a variation on the theme, Shmuel said, the Ikne Eina Koinemim Shubadim. if a guy wrote into his document, a debtor wrote into his document, you know what, not only is my property which I have now meshubah to you, but property which eventually I'm going to acquire in the course of my, in the course of this loan, is also under lien to you. Anything I acquire during the core lifetime of this loan is under lien to you. That too, ain't a good meshubah him. That the only gives the creditor jurisdiction and lien on the property which the debtor buys and still possesses at the time the creditor comes to collect against the debtor who has defaulted. But any property has stole to a third party, that the creditor has no right to. Yet he does collect from whatever is free and clear, anything which hasn't yet been sold to a third party. Now ask the Gemara, Hachat Margoive, Vachat Amar Enogoive. Here you say he collects, and here you say he doesn't collect. Now, what's the question? The question is like this. By Ashtar the Ikne, when you say anything which I'm going to buy, it's under lien to you, the creditor, it says it works at least to acquire a lien on that property which remains free and clear, and he doesn't sell to a third party. So how come in our Mishnah we said the only good that this document does is to serve as a bottle cap? At least this document should serve to testify that the Malveh has an outstanding debt, and that debt can be collected from free and clear property, from property in the lender's, in the debtor's possession. Yes, it won't work for stuff which the debtor sold off. But just like the Shtar Dikne, we find stores which work for stuff which is not sold off but is still in possession of the debtor. At least let this document in the Mishnah, which was found, work against the real estate which is in the possession of the debtor. At least for that purpose it should work. What's the difference? In the case of Shmuel's case of the Ikne, you do call, or in the case you do collect from the Chosim Bnei Choyrin, from free and clear property. It says, according to our mayor, you don't collect anything with that document? Lo dami, it's not comparable. Why not? It's lo dami mishashibet miktsas mishlo shibet kol hikar. Fascinating thing. Very interesting, actually. Now I think about it. The in our Mishnah, the shtar has no shibut at all. It has no lien. Places no property under lien. Because no property is under lien at all in this document. There's no lien because her mayor holds achrayus lafta usofer. Mayor holds, if you leave out guaranteed, there is no guarantee. So if there's no guarantee, there's no guarantee at all. See, there's nothing. In the case of Shmuel, Shmuel's case of the Ikne, there is a guarantee for property which the debtor possesses at the time that he contracts the loan. That property is under guarantee, even if it's sold to a third party. Creditor can come and collect it from the third party. So it's kind of amigo. Since the creditor has a lien on that property, he also acquires a lien on all property which the debtor acquires in the lifetime of the debt if that property is not sold to a third party. So in essence, we're looking for a grip. Once the shtar has some grip on achrayus, on a guarantee, then it can go further and expand into other areas. Once there's some guarantee which is strong enough to even pertain to property sold to a third party, you can also use that document also for things like the Ikne, property which eventually I'm going to acquire for Bnei Choyrin, when it's free and clear not sold to a third party. But if there's no guarantee sufficient to make a lien devolve a property which is going to be sold to a third party, then it doesn't even work for property kept by the debtor in his possession. Okay, that's what it says here. Lo dami mishashibet b'miktsas, v'lo mishir miktsas mishlo shibet kol ikar. If it works a little bit, you can drive through that, make even bigger opening. If it didn't work at all, it doesn't work at all. And that's when our Mishnah, the shtar which has no achrayus whatsoever, according to Meir, its only use is for bottle caps. Okay? Says Ma'amar Elazar, says, why in our Mishnah, according to Rav Meir, a shtar, even a shtar which has a chrayus nechas, we don't give back? Why not? Why can't you give back a shtar which has a chrayus nechas? If you give back a shtar, see, coin, truth is also a question of chachamim. I wrote in my Gemara, it's only a question of Meir, but it's also explained to chachamim. Why don't you give back a shtar if it has a chrayus nechasim? It should be considered to be a valid shtar and give it back. So it says, you know why? Ashani, I'm because of Lilvos v'lo lova. I'm afraid that the document was written for a loan which never took place. I'm afraid the Malva wrote it, or the Lova wrote it for the purpose of contracting loan. They want to have it ready when the Malva agreed to the loan, right? But it never took place. So therefore, I don't return it to the Malva, because I'm afraid it never took place. Amr Lezer says, as a natural result of that, if the borrower concedes, then you give it back, because the borrower concedes that the debt took place. So then you give it back to whom? To whom do you give it back if the borrower concedes the document? What? To the creditor. Okay, the Malva. Amr Lezer says, the third same Rebbe Lezer, Mhulsak Ashtar Biyara Malva, if the shtar was sustained in the hands of the Malve, then you give it back to him. I raise the ox here. In other words, if it had a kium based in that certified document. Klaseum midabra. All three statements of Rabbi Lazar are broken. Now, everybody goes crazy how they're broken. And everybody muffs it. Okay, how they're broken. The Ribaz, it's amazing Ribaz, and somebody else says Ribaz, the Mechamayim says, well, it's broken from a Bryce, which the Bavli brings down, but the Ushami doesn't bring it down because the Ushami expects you to be a Bucky in Bryces. So it doesn't bring down the Bryce here. Just so, so difficult. And other Lieberman, he in order to explain how we break these three states or lesser, he mashes together the Gemara after the next Mishnah and this Gemara. And so the truth is, they all muffed it up really bad. The next three say, my Chavrusa actually pointed this out, although I'm marshaling a little bit of what he said. The next three statements are the three breakages to Rabbi Lezer's statements. It's just that these guys in the Chop, all that Chayim in the Chop, because it's the order in which we break Rabbi Lezer's statements is statement three first, then statement two, and then statement one. And they expected to see the breakages go one, two, three. That was their problem. Okay, I'm surprised, because you figure they realize Yerushalmi, certainly backwards order is pretty orderly for the Yerushalmi. You know, we expect Yerushalmi to go 2-3-1, right? So this is pretty bad, pretty orderly. So first of all, breaking the last thing. The last thing was in Muslik Ashtar, Harezi Yachzir. So we see Chachomim Omrim says in our Mishnah, Benkachu Benkach Lo Yachzir. No matter what, you don't give it back. Even the base is signed in it. And the truth is, later on this evening, in a few moments, we'll see Tak explicitly in the Gemara. Even a base is signed, you don't give it back. That breaks statement number three. Statement number two was, if the loiv is moide, you give it back. Rabbi Avo, B'shem Rabbi Yehon said, baloney. Bivnei Knunia. We're afraid of what? A con game. We're afraid that maybe, you know, the loiv is conceding in order for the Malva to get back the document, and the Malva is going to use it to take from third parties who've acquired his property, and they're going to split, divvy the profits. And the first day Rabbi Lezer is rejected, Rabbi Lezer said that we're always afraid that maybe the document was written for a loan, and the loan didn't take place. Well, that contradicts Rabbi Yassin's statement, more of which we'll see later on. Rabbi Yassin said, if the document was dated today, and you found it in the afternoon of today, you give it back to the original owner. I mean, to the Malva, right? Now, if you're afraid that maybe it was written for a loan which never took place, it shouldn't make a difference what day you found it on, right? If you would see, it makes a difference. If it's found on that day, you give it back to the original Malva. Why is that? Why do we give back to the Malva on that day? Because later on, the words going to discuss and say, we don't assume that a guy paid back his loan on the same day that it was contracted. People don't do that. So therefore, if you found on the same day that it was taken out, then you give it back to the creditor, not to the debtor. So all three statements are regular. And now if we're afraid that a loan was never took place, and we shouldn't give it back up even on the same day. If the issue is whether the loan was repaid or not, they didn't give it back on the first day because we assume he didn't repay. But if the issue is whether the loan was ever taken out, so they shouldn't be able to give it back even on the same day. So all three statements in reverse order of Rabbi Lezer were rejected. Okay? That's a great thing about learning Rishalmi. You know, dozens of Achronim could have come along, and none of them got it right until you come along and you can figure it out. Okay. So Gishmak, since you guys are preparing Yerushalmi, you could do this too. Okay, Allah Ghazayim. Matzagite Najib. Vishukhur Abadim. You find a get written for a woman, or a release written for a slave. Daitike, wills. Matana, gifts. Shavolim, receipts. Arezel Yach, lo Yach, so you don't give it back. Shani Yoimaram, Frank, Sumim Hayu. They were written, but Nimachalim Shalit, none, but the person who wrote them decided not to give them. Time. So Rabbi Baisa like this. Matzah Gitin Uksuvas. Now Lieberman puts in, and the Yosemech also puts in, except Lieberman had the it's not in the Yos Koriel anyway. But Lieberman and the Yosemech both put in here. Matzah Gitin Uksuvas Bismacha Baumoida. The Babli says if the husband concedes that he gave the get, or vice versa, they didn't give the ksuva, then I raise the ox, you give it back to the wife. So the Gemara had to ask the Gemara, Uksuva is lo yichazoka? Isn't a ksuva, why need the husband to be moider? A woman always has a chazaka that the ksuva is hers. Right? So therefore, mistama, the ksuva should bring it back to him, even the husband doesn't see the point. Right? So therefore, the Gemara asks a question that it shouldn't have to do with whether the husband concedes or not. Alright, the Gemara doesn't answer. Shtar shalava bo paul. Now, here's a fascinating Gemara. This next Gemara is very, very fascinating. Shtar shalava bo pro, and relates directly back to the Gemara at the end of the previous halacha. Shtar shalava bo pro, a shtar which you borrowed with and then you paid up. Okay? You borrowed at 9 o'clock in the morning. Look, I have to tell you, in Yushalayim, the Gemara says somewhere, I don't remember where, some Bumitzi in the Babli. So Yushalayim, oh, you Kaisman Shos. I remember. Shtar, you Kaisman Shos. Yerushalayim used to write the hour of day into the documents. But we don't do that. Nowhere else do they do that. They don't write what hour of day was written. So the whole day is like one unit, right? So let's say he borrowed money at 9 o'clock in the morning. 10 o'clock in the morning, he gives the money back. 11 o'clock in the morning, he takes out the loan again. Does he have to write a new document for the 11 o'clock loan? Right? So that's a good question, right? So it says more, no, he has to write a new document. Shtar shalova bo, document which used for a loan, upo, and loan was paid back. Lo yachsir v'yikve bo, you can't use it over again as a tool of collection. Ne meira kohen shakulos, because it damages the power of the buyers. And of course, the Gemara is going to ask what that means later on. Rabbi Yasser b'shem Yochanan said, I feel bo b'yom, even on the self same day. And what I was going to ask later on why. I understand you can't use the next day because that'll give a false impression that the lien started the day before. Whereas the lien only starts the next day, but why not on the same day? Okay. Rabbi Zeir, but come Rabbi Asa, or Rabbi Zeir, for Rabbi Asa, Hachat Marfilu Bobayo. I understand. Here, you're saying even on the same day, you can't use it again. But Hachat Mar, in the previous Gemara, at the bottom of at the top of Hamad Alf, right before the Mishnah, you said, "Vachad Mar Im Zmanu Liyotze Lebo Bayom Yachzir." It says on the same day you found a lost document, you may give it back to the loser. So, which is the Malda? You assume you give it back to the lender. So it seems to be a contradiction. Means, how can you assume that there is such a thing as a shtar, which ran on the same day and already paid? The whole previous Gemara, right before the Mishnah, which says you can return a shtar on the day that it was dated, assumes that nobody pays back on the day that it was dated, right? So it's a contradiction in logic. If before you said an A document fine on the date that it was lost, you can return because he couldn't have paid back on the same day he took out the loan, then your whole statement over here about documents being used over again on the same day makes no sense. There is no such thing. There are no documents which are used over again on the same day. They don't exist. So says a more beautiful answer. But the thing is, we have to change gears in a little bit. But it's not us. The Scorial does it. Amarle, so he said like this. This is very geschmack. He says, here, just put in the word ein. Ein adam matzui lilvos v'lifro al bo bayom. A person does not customarily borrow and pay back on the same day. However, take out the word ein here. Adam asui lifroa, if a person did pay back a loan on the same day, he's liable levos lebobayom to borrow money on the same day again. And the way Lieberman explains it, it's very cute. He says that I give my own scenario. This is important because both scenarios are going to come up in a few moments. Lieberman's scenario is: listen, I could borrow, come to you and say, listen, Reb David, I need $1,000 fast. I need $1,000. I want to go invest in something. So fine, you lend me $1,000. Things I don't need today, I need it tomorrow. In the meantime, something comes up and you need the $1,000 quickly. So you come back to me and say, I tell you what, give me back the $1,000 for a couple of hours. And a couple of hours from now, I'll give you another $1,000. I'll go to ATM and take another $1,000 and loan you $1,000. So that happens. It's not that I'm paying you back on the same day. You needed the money back. That's one alternative. Another alternative is that I come to you and we want to change the conditions of the loan for some reason. In other words, the first time was done with, let's say, without achrayus. So now you have second thoughts, you want achrayus. And for some reason I agree, maybe you're going to give me, maybe, you know, you'll something will change. So, but anyway, so I want to we rewrite it with different conditions later in the day. Now, that's unlikely because then we should need a new star, right? Because the conditions change. Oh, so that'll come up in a second. But in the meantime, we say a person normally does not borrow and pay back on the same day. But if the scenario arises in which it's not that he wants to pay back, but for some reason the guy needs the money temporarily, right? In other words, it's not that they're closing out the loan. I should put it this way. You don't close out a loan on the same day you take it out. But the money might exchange hands back and forth a couple of times on the same day. So a document which is around the same day, we assume if the document's there, means the loan is still outstanding. Right? It's just that at the same time, it's feasible that until the end of the day, things will be fluid back and forth. Okay? So now, says where Rabbi Chagai, boy, couldn't Rabbi Asa. Chagai said for Rabbi Asa, look, there's no sanctity in a shtar. The shtar can only be used for the first loan of the day. That shouldn't be able to use later on. It's no concept of lishma by a document of loan. So who has man? He says, I understand. It's the same day, time. Who ain't Adam? And then it's the same date, right? We didn't go by hours, right? Same date, same witnesses. Who am I with the same lender? What do you get to use the same document later in the day? What difference does it make? Use it over again. Right? So it's a more fascinating answer. Amarle, so he said, because the terms could change later in the day. It could be that the first one there was no shibud. And the second one there is, later day there is shibud. Some say that originally, let's say, there were no witnesses signed on the document, and when it had witnesses on the document, it doesn't collect from the chosim shubadim. But the second time, you put witnesses on the document. So if that's the case, so what? So my sister, so use the same shtar and sign the witnesses on, right? So nobody says this, but I chapt. You know what the problem is? What creates, why when there's a shtar, can chasim shubanim be under lien? Because what does a shtar create? What does a shtar create which allows property to be under lien, even if it's sold to a third party? What does it create, though? That's true, but what else? That creates something else. Creates a call. Creates noise, a buzz, that this took place. What creates the buzz that it took place? This, the writing of the shtar. Because people get a sofer, you get the adim, you sit down, you write the shtar. That's what creates the buzz. If you don't, so the, if the term were afraid precisely of this issue, that maybe the terms change from the morning to the evening. And if you don't have rewrite the shtar, there's not going to be a proper call about the new terms. That's the point. And Enochanami might be that things are that's the same amount, the same witnesses, the same malve, but if there's a subtle change in terms between the first and the second one, the only thing which is going to get that out to the general public is not the existence of the shtar, but the public writing of the shtar. That's where change gets the call. So if you change, you want to, even if you want to just put adim on the second shtar, it's not enough just to sign the adim. You have to rewrite the document in order to create that call which comes, aydei ksiva shtar. Okay, so that's why I have to write it again. So it's not some sanctity, you know, that you have to, again, like I said a few minutes ago, it's not that you need to write it in Shema or anything like that, but simply in order to create the call, you have to write it a second time.
I saw this on a similar line, I was thinking in modern-day finances, that you establish a line of credit.
Yeah.
And if you pay back the loan, and then you take out another loan, you've already established that line of credit. It's a call in the community that you are responsible for. You will pay back your loan. So you can take out another loan, even though it's the same amount.
Yeah, but there you don't even have to write a second document necessarily.
No, I'm saying that you should write a second document, because the first document really established that you are good.
Trustworthy. Yeah. So okay, cool. It's somewhat similar, but not precisely the same thing. Okay, halacha ches. Matzah igros shum, if you find, these are like, I don't know what they're called in English, but it's a document that said in which Basin confirmed that the property of the borrower has been assessed, and it should go to the lender for the money outstanding against in the loan. Or igros mazon, the document's attesting the fact that this person owes money for sustenance for his wife or for his kids. B'shitri chalitza miyunin, or documents which attest to a chalitza having taken place, or miyun, the repudiation of marriage by a minor, a girl. B'shitri bruin, or documents which attest to having selected judges. The chom maisa basin, all these are documents which Basin writes, not the litigants, not the husband, not witnesses, but Basin. And therefore you give it back. Why can you give it back? Because Mistama Basin is tracking this thing. And a Basin felt that there was some issue, they wouldn't allow a document which was questionable to fall into the hands of somebody who would then, you know, lose it and that would cause all sorts of problems. Precisely because Basin wrote this document, so therefore they track it better, and therefore you can give it back to the person who lost the document. Matzo chaviso b'tluskema, or if you found in a bundle or a container, or a wad of documents, a good or it's also the kind of bundle. Harez the you give it back because it's clear that there are other documents which attest to the fact of who lost this also. Kamiyagura, what's an good or shoshtoris? Shloshakshurim zebazet, three attached to each other. And Rosh Hashanah explains a little bit further. I don't think he's necessarily arguing Tanakhama. I didn't check in the Bible. I don't think he's necessarily arguing. Could be he's just explaining. Echad loyve mishlesha, if you have documents which have three documents, and each one is the same borrower, but from different creditors, so who lost the document in that case? Who lost the bundle? The borrower, right? Echad loyve mishlesha, yachsu loyve, give it back to the borrower. Shlesh loyve mechad, if the three people who borrowed money from the same individuals who lost it, so this is a way of telling who lost it by checking the commonality, the thread which goes throughout the documents in the bundle. Motzu shtar ben shteros, if you found a document among your documents, you don't know what its quality is, whether it was used or unused, you leave it until the ordinary comes. The imiyeshim sinfon, if there's a rider attached to it, as a separate document which contains conditions, stipulations concerning the primary document. Yasamash the simphon, you have to do whatever the simphon says. Rabbi Yirmiyahu b'shem Rav said, Imoyo Ishra Dayonim, if there is a if there is an Ishur, meaning a kium, it's called in Hebrew, certification. What do you want to say? Certification of the document by Dayonim, I raise the Yachzi, you give it back. Now, Chorah, it's very difficult to say that this is going in our Mishnah, because our Mishnah is talking about documents which are written by Dayonim. So, of course, they're certified by Dayonim. So the Shari Torah still says, and Pashtus is right, that what's going on, a get of a woman and the release of a slave of the previous Mishnah. And it's on these, this was saying that even though normally you only give back a document which is a Maisa Basin, which Basin itself wrote. But if Basin confirmed a get or a ksuva, then you give that back as well, based on the certification of Dayonim. What you don't give back is a Choshen Mishpat document, which has the Dayonim signed certifying it. Because then, yes, they might have certified it, but it might no longer be valid. Because maybe it was paid up, right? By get, once again it's valid forever. By ksuva, once a ksuva is valid, it's valid forever. But not by a regular Choshen Mishpat document. In that case, we say, don't give it back, even as kium mashtar. Okay, that's not like Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Lezer wanted to say, you give it back if it's kium mashtar. But we repudiate him. We said, no matter what, you don't give it back. Because again, even the kium certifies only that it was valid at its time, but not what happened afterwards. You only give back to the documents written by Basin, or once, where there's a kium Basin, where once they occur, get and shichur evet, they're forever. I said before get and ksuba, that was a mistake. I meant get and shichur evet. That's where they last forever. Okay?
Get was giving back to the Baal.
No. To the wife.
Yeah, maybe the Baal didn't give it, maybe changed his mind.
The Basin signed on it, that's what I'm saying. Basin signing, right, exactly. Right, that signs the liver. Okay? Says the Gemara, brought a little bit of a grammar lesson, not that any of us really want this. Rabbi Chama, I shouldn't say that's terrible. Rabbi Chama avoid Rabbi Yeshua. Are you following the Gemara in the morning, by the way?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So we had very few people in Daf Yomi today. Yeah. So your whole side of the table was not there. Except for Aaron, yes. You're missing a lot because I bring in the Yerushalmi every morning now. Rabbi Chama avoid Rabbi Yeshua is a lot more in the Yerushalmi on the Netzel and Tarbut record than there is in the Bavli. Okay, Rabbi Chama, more interesting stuff. Rabbi Chama avoid Rabbi Yeshua mar ashlei dayonim shebegolios. Now, lamets and races are interchangeable in the Yerushalmi. So, what's called ashlei or ashrei dayonim, Yeshua is my Hebrew for certification, even bisman hazeh. So, what's called ashlei dayonim shebegolios is called gizelei or gizrei. It's for with the reish dayonim shebe'eretz Yisrael. It's the same thing. It's just different languages have different or different locales have different terms for the same thing. Rav Nun Amar Nichtava Ono Be'echad Benison. If you have a document of pill of loan which is written on the Rosh Chodesh Nisan, v'nita akesa basor benison, but the money was not delivered until the 10th day of Nisan. Tzichum Lichtov, they got it right. Avav Bisha Kosavnu Ksav, even though he wrote the document Be'echad Benison. It only ended up that the money was given on Tet Dei. Now I don't remember this from the Bavli, but I have a feeling that according to the Bavli, you actually have to rip off the first document and write the second document. Right? We don't let you write in a rider. I mean, you see, the Ushami gives credence to riders, which we don't usually do in the Bavli. But here, the fact that he wrote in the rider is sufficient. Right? Rabbi Yerushalayim Rav said, what if a rider is written by the lender and it comes out of the lender's position? It's in the lender's handwriting, it comes out of the lender's pocket, so to speak. Pulse, it's no good. I don't believe it. I never remember if I say he was playing around with his documents. He was practicing, quote unquote. Meaning he was practicing writing riders. Some of you use the lotion of Misasik. They was playing around. So, you know, that we don't believe you for producing right, especially if it's here for your benefit. We say you're pulling around. It sounds like if somebody else wrote the same phone and somebody else is holding out this writer, it's okay. If somebody else says, no, don't infer that. This writer is not kosher. Until the mouth is holding on to it, but within the handwriting of the borrower. Because the borrower is the one who has to write writers, not the lender. Right? If there's a writer attached, the borrower has to consent to it. So therefore, it must be written by the borrower, even though the lender is holding on to it. Only then do I accept this writer. So it's interesting, there is an order, a rule, which has a girsa, the loive o shlucho. So there are agents, emissaries, your lawyer can write the writer for you. But some, I don't know if we do nowadays, everybody's typewriters and computer printouts, but theoretically the person who's writing, who has to be recognizable, that's a loive or the borrower or one of his guarantors who signed the documents. Okay? Says the Gemara, what time did we learn? Shelo pikdanu abba. If heirs come and say, our father did not leave us any, you know, actually a creditor comes to the heirs and says, listen, pay back the loan your father has outstanding, he owes me. So says the Gemara there, Shlopi Klanav, they say, our father didn't tell us anything about this. Vishalo Amar Lano Abba, our father, well, he didn't command us, he didn't tell us anything. Vishalo Matsinu Shtar Ben Shtachoysov, and we found no document among his documents, Shtar Zepurah. We found no statement. Oh, I made a mistake. Sorry. They are the Yisoyimim are the creditors. So the debtor says he paid back. Well, creditors say, meaning the Yisoyimim, come and say, no, our father would have told us if you paid back. Didn't tell us anything. We didn't find a document among his documents saying that this document, which we're presenting against you, was ever paid up. Now, the kasha is a very interesting kasha. It took me Lieberman to explain to me the question. It's a very interesting question. The kasha which Lieberman says the Mar is asking is that it sounds like if there would have been a document among the dead father's documents saying, writer, saying that this loan had been canceled or paid up, that we would have believed the writer. Why? We just said before, we don't believe writers which are written in the father/creditor's handwriting. We only believe writers written by the debtor. So why, if the father left the writer, would the Yisraelim be bound by that not to collect the debt? They should say, we don't believe the writer. The writer should have been by you, the debtor. So it says, I'm going to tell you. I don't know if I read the whole question. Sounds like they would have to believe the writer if the writer said that to get that the loan was paid up. So my kaduna, how come? What's the difference? I'm going to be a very simple answer. The batar gon hadad the aitike. We're talking about here that the way they know that they have a loan outstanding against certain individuals by will. And ein adam os shein adam otzu lefkom the aitike shalom. Person is not going to damage the will. He leaves his kid unless he's telling the truth. But here's depriving the kids of their inheritance by having the creditor come along, right? A person would not write such a writer, which is to his detriment, unless it was true. A person write a writer to his advantage, even if it's not true, as, you know, a exercise. A person's not going to write a writer to his disadvantage, unless it's true. So therefore, they have to, were they to have found a writer, they would have to have accepted the writer. Okay? Okay, on to the most famous parak in Shas, I think. I think it's the most famous parak in Shas. Says the Mishnah further. Ayla Matiya Shalom.
Parak Rishon was much different than the
Bible.
It was much different.
Oh, yeah. Oh, much, much more difficult. No, yeah, sure. Tukfal Kain, one of the greatest sugyas in Shas, is the first parak of Matiya. And there are many more of them, and I have a mental block against the first parak of Matiya. It's very difficult, yes. All sorts of parameters of Abba also turned on here. Okay. Elam Tishlo, but they knew where we were, had to do 230 pages in 180 days, so they had Rachmanis on us. Elam Tishlo, Elam Shachai, it is kind of daunting when you think about it. I try not to think about it. Elam Tishlo, Elam Shachai, Vachris. These are Metzias which you, which belong to you, and these are the ones that you must denounce, right? You must proclaim that you found them. With the Elam Tishlo, these are the ones which belong to you. Matapels before Fusarib, you found scattered fruit. Matav Mimosa for us, scattered coins. Krichos Rishus Arabin, bundles in Rishus Arabin. This is bundles of what? Of grain. Bundles of grain, of stalks. Not stalks. Sheaves. Rishus Arabin. Viguet Vela and pressed dates. Vikikor Shanachtom and baker's bread. All these things have no simoni. Machroga showed the good dogim. You find a stringed up fish. Chadir Shabbos, a stringed up piece of meat. Vigiz Etem Rabos, he doesn't. And wool, which is coming from this country, which is not significant. Vanite Pishton and strands of flax. Ulushoina Shargoman and the balls, I guess. I'm not sure exactly how to translate Lashon, but some sort of bundle also of purple thread. Harei Lashon, they all belong to you because there's no simoni. Minai, there's no sign of the original owner. Minai liyeush bailim in the Torah. I don't know this concept of yeush in the Torah. So Rabbi Yochanan, that a person gives up hope of ever getting back an object, therefore finders keepers. Rabbi Yochanan, b'shem Rabbi Shimon Yotzark, says, kent asel chamoro. So to you should do to his donkey, to his it says asher tovah mimenu mitzvah, which is lost from him, and you find it. You have to announce its presence. Asher avu lo motzi l'chav, that which is lost from him, but it's found by you. Ad chayav lachris, you have to announce that you found it. Asher einu avu lo motzi l'chav, but something which is not lost to him and found by you. And a chayav lachris. What does that preclude? Yotze yeish b'alim shalim menu kol adam, precludes yeish b'alim when something is lost from you and all other people, which is the case of the Bavli, and we had it earlier in the Masechta. If a river came and swept away your property, we extrapolate from the trade of shaitos and so explains. That's the case where indeed everybody loses access to it, and there yeish occurs. But from that we extrapolate even a lesser case, well, not as dramatic, where your house is swept away by a river. But if Yehush occurs, then anybody else can come and acquire it. Okay? You know, I didn't check, and I thought maybe it doesn't, but Lamaisa, the Achronim say it doesn't, the Achronim say it does.
Really?
Yeah, they say it does. Yeah, they bring that up so can play. Where did I see the proof? You see, but the Bavli is different because the Bavli, I think the Bavli brings another puzzle, but not necessarily in the context of, not to infer from it all of Yehush. In other words, all of Yehush, perhaps is what you mean. This is also a type of Yehush, when it's swept away by river and it's not nobody at the moment, this moment can get it. But the question is a regular Yehush where he just doesn't have a simon or something of that sort. So in that case, I don't know the Yehush takes place. So I don't know if the Bavli ever draws a parallel to the Pasuk. Right, although the Shami does here draw a parallel to the Pasuk. So, I don't know. I really don't remember, but maybe you're right. Okay, anyway, Tani, we learned. Matzah Krichos, you find bundles of wool, Bishus Arabin, and a Chayav Lachris. You don't have to announce. Bishus Ayachi Chayav Lachris. But if I was Bishus Ayachi, you must denounce. Right, because there's no Yehush in Rosh Hashanah, because he thinks he left it in a private place, maybe he'll get it back. Similarly, Aluma, however, Alumos, if they're large bundles, Alumos are like big sheaves. Wherever you find them, Chayav Lachris, you have to announce it, because the people don't give up so quickly with big sheaves, right? Either because of the Spindel principle, or because they think they have some sort of simon in it. Iguet Vela, press dates. It's only about large cakes, because then there's no simon. But the small ones are scrubbed for batra. Chayav lachris, you have to announce it. Why is that? Because mishum, and this I don't remember from the Bavli. Mishum simonim makom. Now, there is a concept of a Siman Malkum in the Bavli, but I don't. But that's specifically where you left, where it's left in a way which you can tell that it was left there. But here it's saying, even if it came from somewhere, let's say sardines imported from Norway, right? So then that would, it could itself be the Siman. So you have to announce it. You see, it's not where it is just right now, but where it came from, which is also, but perhaps a Siman. The way you put it, but also if you put it like next to a fence, it was found next to a fence in a way which is clear that a guy intended to come back to it, right? So there too, that's considered to be a Siman where it was found. But where it came from, that as far as I recall, is never Siman in the Bavli. This is a case which happens to you sometimes when you go buy an Empire chicken. You have five pieces of meat, and one of them is still a liver. A kliachas or a kidney, that won't happen. It's illegal. Chayav lachriz, you have to announce that chicken because that's the siman. If there was an extra piece left in, which normally the butcher takes out, that in of itself is an outsiman. If you get a string of fish, you find a string of fish, within them is one, not to be confused with the vegetable, a certain one green fish. All the rest are blue fish. There's a green fish. Or another type of wacko fish, you have to announce, because that, you know, itself is siman, the strange fish among the caught fish. Anything which is different, you have to announce. Kate's on now, so. If you found a pressed date cake with a sochel cheres, and within it is a piece of pottery or a kikar, a loaf of a sochel modest, and you find money inside it, I wonder how many people are actually going to return that. Rishim Lozer, you have to make a achrozer. Rishim Lozer, may I call clay in poria, anything which is new, and now you recognize the owner, ain't chayav lachzir. You don't have to announce it. Tani, we learned. But where is the piece of pottery that's sitting in the pressed cakes, in the pressed dates, when it's sunk in? So that means it didn't get there by accident, because it has to be shoved in really hard, right? Wait a minute. Here you say, I'm going to learn this like Lieberman. Here you say, over there in the last Gemara, you said Benosimbo. If there just is a piece of liver or a kidney inside the piece of meat, then you ray at the machris. It does sounds like it wasn't necessarily placed there deliberately, right? But nevertheless, since it's nosumbo, the derechi nuach, as if it was placed there, so therefore you have to be machris. So there's more avakasha. So we have a kasha. That's the kasha. So what's the difference? So when does that have to be sunk really deep and embedded in Rishus HaRabim? Because otherwise, I say, if it's just placed there, then it just happened to fall there somehow. But not that it's a siman of any sort. Is that what you should say? It's enough that it just be placed upon it, right? Even on the outside. But it looks like that's Bershul Sayachid, that's in Bershul Sayachid. And says the Gemara, Bershul Sarabim, take away that, I feel, we'll plug it in a minute, we'll learn like great boss. Bershul Sarabim, Benosun Bo, if it's placed atop the prestate, and you don't put it in the afilu derechinuach, even looks like it was pressed there, I say, not, doesn't matter, it's not a siman. Ani oimer derech nefil nafalav, I say, it just fell there. Only if it's embedded deep, then I say, reshus rab, it's a siman. So reshus ayachi, the piece of pottery on the pressed day cake, is a siman, even just sitting on the top of it. As long as it looks like it's derechinuach and not derech nefil. As long as it looks like it's placed there, and then it just fall there. Reshus rab, things don't fall and remain there. So therefore, if there's anything there, things don't remain there, even if they're placed there. So therefore, if I find something on top, it's no rai either way. Only if I find embedded is a rai that belongs to whoever claims it. Okay? Rabbi Shimon Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Elazar says,
I'm just looking what I have this little base here for. Whatever it is, it's wrong. Oh, it's in the blind before. That's right. I knew it was going to be a mistake. But it's in the blind before. Sorry.
Shimon Elazar may claim for you in the Chayav Achris. If you have new claim, you don't have to make an announcement. Why? Because he doesn't recognize it yet. So he doesn't have Simon. Says the Maharam Rabbi Yogan Reyes, have a tiny law, and some say it's a price. So, then what examples is called Bari Machatin, the lines which hold needles, Vitsuinorios, and forks, Umachroso, Shokardomas, and axe handles. Now, wherever these things are, they were mass produced. Nowadays, many things are mass produced. But then, very few things are mass produced. These are mass produced items which you don't have to do machros on, because they're too similar to each other. I'm already the Ravitsa Bratavli. The Amoira of Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Tavla is his broadcast of his drushes. Ashkoch Ozil Korach Mimikdora. He found, it's not clear exactly how to translate it, but the way that Bnei Moshe explains it, he found like a turban. Turbans that were, they're made out of windings, which you wind like toilet paper around your head, right? You unroll the roll. So he found them rolled up. So he wants to know if he had to be machris or not, right? All the Rabbi Yitzchak said, "Kadosh Rishim Lazar." He said, "He told him like Rishim Lazar in our Mishnah that it's clay and poria, clay and poria." So it's clay and poria, and therefore don't be machris it. So it says it's a new vessel. I'm Rabbi Yechonah. I'm sorry. Amor Rabbi Yochanan, similar case. Amor Rabbi Yochanan, Ashka Chazukar Mitari also found this turban wrap. Ashka Rabbi Yochanan found came Rabbi Yochanan. I'm like, Henash Kachtina, where'd you find it? So he said, the symptom of Plati. I found it in an alley off the main street. So he says, oh, you also can't keep it. The boy Meftrini Kadar Hashem Lazar, I see he wants to say like a different Hashem Lazar. Between the Ephraim and the bottom, many unfortunately make this point. The two Hashem Lazars, the two, I forget, maybe the gears are slightly different. But he says that both the other Shimon Lazar says that that if you lose it in Rishus HaRabim, that even if it has a simon, you don't give it back. Why is that? Because the simonim asuim lidores. The simon which likely would get stepped on if it stayed there too long. And therefore the owner gives up hope because he, even though he knows he has simonim, he doesn't have any expectation that the simonim will come to fruition. So there's a big nafkina between these two cases here. First case is the Gerim Shimon Lazar holds that clay pori ain't chayv lachris, but it sounds like if you found it in the right place, you would be chayv to yimachris. The place itself would be an issue. And the other opinion holds no. If you find it in a certain place, then there's no machris because the place is such that it leaves the pro owner to be besides of ever getting it back. But in a chanami, if you find something which is a clay pori, perhaps taka you'd be chayv to give it back. Says the Gemara. The boy says Mishnah further. Veil, did I read to the Mishnah? Okay. Veil chayav achris, these have to renounce. Motza peros bekeli, if you find peros in a vessel. Okli kamoshu, or you find a vessel in and of itself. Because all vessels were different. Motza kis, you find money in a wild. Okli kamoshu, you find the wild by itself. Tzibure peros! Piles of fruit, the tziburamos, and piles of money. Shosh matpeo zu al zergav zu, and even 3 coins one on top of the other. Krikos b'chusar yachid. Smaller bundles b'chusar yachid. The kikarosh b'al bais, and the loaves of the b'al bas. The kisei tu mekuchos b'beis ha'ayin, and strands of wool which are taken, beis ha'yuman. Strands of wool which are taken from the house of the craftsman. Kadayayin, kadayashemen, and barrels of oil, barrels of wine. Chayav achriz, all these things, repeated things that people not miss yoyish on. Rabbi Yehuda says, what's considered to be a pile of coins? Shalosh matbeos zel gavazeh. You're going to make shalosh matbeos or shalosh malachim. Even if there are 3 different kings. Because the chora then might be just, it wasn't from the same person, right? You have 3 different kings, 3 different coins. So who says it's a legitimate pile? Maybe one king, maybe one fell 10 years ago, another fell 5 years ago, another fell 3 years ago. It's from 3 different kings. Never say if they're one on top of each other, a stack, then you have to be machris, right? Amar Elazar said, "Fafiru shloisha shemelach echad vasein gadolim." He says, "Even the three of the same king, That's more of a chiddush, because if they fell from the same king, so then, no, maybe I got it wrong. I think Rav Yehuda says dafka, if there are three different kings, it's considered to be a pile. Not as I said before, the opposite. Dafka, if there are three different kings, it's considered to be a stack. Because then, how did they get there, one on top of the other, if it wasn't intentional? But and then Rabbi Lozakam says, no, if you search your melech echot, even there are three of the same king, as long as they're one on top of the other, it can't have happened on its own. Yes, it's shaykh that you find three coins of the same king in the vicinity and means nothing. But if they're stacked one on top of each other, that's significant. Okay? So he says, the first opinion holds that have to be a three different kings. Because otherwise they say just by happenstance made a stack or a pile. The second by number says no, piles or stacks don't happen by happenstance. And therefore, even if it's three of the same king, we assume that it was placed there by Chavona that way. What? Because he knows that he put it in a... But he knows he put it in a stack. He knows he put it in a stack, so he holds... He knows he put it in a stack, so he hopes to get it back. Might be hope against hope, but he hopes. Okay? Now... 5 minutes? Less? Shoshloshim Malachim, of three kings, Vasui, now I'm going to change everything around here because the Escorial does, and I think he's right. Shoshloshim Malachim, Vasuyim Godol, take out the Shlosha, Vasuyim Godolim. If you have of three kings, and they're made of a tower, then you have to be Machris. So it makes no difference. I stopped the middle sentence according to the way it's going to read. It should be like this. It doesn't matter if it's of one king or three kings, as long as it's in a stack, you have to be machris, no matter what. Okay? And the Mashbiach basically changes the gears the same way the Eskoriel does, even though he didn't have the Ksav Yad. Okay, Kareyayim, Kareyshem, Nechayev, Lachris. If you have find Kadayan, Kadashem, you have to, well, actually, it's a parenthesis. Let me not read it. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan said, In Havaka, Hein Matzuva. Now, the rest of the words of the Mishnah, nobody understands. That was, we won't understand it, of course, right? But nobody understands it. It's soon until today. So, they all change the gears, and they have difficulties back and forth. There is what misled them, of course, is that there's a Bavli in Daf Chopei, which says, Yeah, Asuyin Khatzuva. If you don't find a stack, but you find a like a triangle. One coin here, one coin there, one coin there. What's the halacha, right? So the old time mitzvah is the same thing. And therefore they have difficulty because the gemara doesn't shtim. It doesn't work out once you from that assumption. And there it's Rabbi Yirmiyahu, and there it's Rabbi Yochanan, it's not the same person. So I think mitzvah is like this. Now what I didn't look up, I should look up a dictionary. In modern Hebrew, mutzav is a military term, means an outpost. Like a position out in the field. So I wanted to say that this is the same word here, mutzav.
I don't think they have a dictionary here, just a concordance here. But
I'm not sure if it actually is a key word.
That's what I meant. This is causing just a difference. It's in the front.
They have you without
the book. So they have spelled like on top.
Here it says, the Nagar one says Matsuva, right? So it says a Mutsav here, it says. Makom mukdar b'shetach, a place which is which is defined in the area, Shutsa Bokach Tzvayin, which you put an army force, right? Midlaganama, come to protect the place, or Kafami Dacho, or to attack from it. And then there are a whole bunch of different types of Mutsavim mentioned here. So, I'm not sure, I really don't know if it comes from ancient Hebrew at all. And he doesn't give me any clue here. And we have Sula Mutsav Arza, right? Which is gracious. But that doesn't necessarily, it's not a position, but one which is standing on the ground. Well, if you accept my modern Hebrew parallel, so then it works out very well. What's a matzuvah? There's a loch in Erevin, a karpaf of three people. You give them as much area as they need on Shabbos, meaning you have three people in an outpost in the middle of the desert. If you have one person in the desert, how much area can you walk on Shabbos? No, I'm not walking. How much area can he surround with an Eruv? With a fence? Anybody remember? In the middle of the desert? Base sign, which is 50 by 50. 50 by 50, right. If there are two people, they get two base signs. If there are three people, they get as much as they want. Okay? So that means, they can walk around, if three people walk around as much as they want. So what it's saying is here, where they can walk around all they want. If you see a coin fall in that area, you don't have to give it back. Why? Since you won't know from who to give it back, you don't have to make a achroz on it. That works both ways. There's also yeush on it. Because we assume that they don't know which one of them dropped the coin, and they know that you're not going to be able to know which one of them dropped the coin, so therefore you don't have to make achraz on it. And Yerushalmi gives enough give me a practical case. Rabbi Yosef said, Achama Lumina, Achmanina, you derive this Barnash, an individual. And it says Rabbi Chalafta. Now the odds are, if you have the guess Rabbi Chalafta, means Rabbi Chalafta was really an absent minded professor. He had no idea he lost, how many coins he had in his pocket. And if he lost some, he would have no idea to get it back. But there is a girsa in the Escorial Bar Nach, if you're following one person's following another person. But that's not clear either. So Lieberman proposes, I guess he's right, he proposes it should be, if you're walking behind three Bnei Nasha, behind three people, or the Shaitar itself proposes instead, Shairosa, you're walking behind a caravan. But the same principle as before, if a dollar falls from them, you can't blow your other man chazes, since you don't know to give it back, and you don't have to be machris it. So if a coin falls from many people together, it's impossible to know who dropped it, since the odds are they don't count the coins in their pocket. Even if you saw it fall, you don't have to give it back. Now here's a fascinating case along these lines. Shimbar bo have a malachoy Rabbi Lezer, following Rabbi Lezer. Nothing mina dinar, so he dropped a dollar. Aishilei Shimbar bo, so Shimbar gave it to Rabbi Lezer. Amalezer said, "Kfarni siashimen." I already gave up hope of getting it back, because which is fascinating. Amin, they said, "Loischon Rabbi Lezer, loischkam Rabbi Lezer." Rabbi Lezer didn't have any other thing in mind. El ischuil Rabbi Shimbar bo. He wanted Rabbi Shimbar bo to find it and keep it. Why begin to have an inish misgain? Because Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai was a poor person, so he did it in a way to give his parnos b'derech kovet, not its tzedakah, but rather drop the coin to say he did it was misyoshman. Let the guy go and take it for himself.